Well, on this Remembrance Day, as I was thinking about what we do, or in this Remembrance Sunday, is what we do on Remembrance Day, and I was reminded again of how I frequently say I don't really preach about things in the secular calendar, like Mother's Day and Father's Day, and I don't. But this Sunday, in particular, our epistle lesson really speaks to part of what Remembrance Day does for us. And as I was thinking about Remembrance Day, I was realizing that there are lots of people who don't like to remember. And I was wondering about why. And sometimes we don't want to remember because it makes us sad. And I'm not just thinking of Remembrance Day itself, but there are many people who have decided that they're going to live their life. I've had people tell me this. I'm only looking forward. I'm not looking back. You know, if you want to drive, you look through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. Which is true enough, but we're not talking about driving. We're talking about living a life of reasonably effective. But it can make us sad. Sometimes it makes us feel hopeless. And I've had that feeling myself on some remembrance days when I think that we thought we'd solved some things in various times in the best way that we knew how, by often sending our best and our brightest to go and put themselves between us and war's desolation, as it's sometimes described. And so you think we'd have some of these things under control, and we just don't. They break out here and there, and we see things that we never thought we'd see again in countries that we value, that are close to us. And so sometimes we feel hopeless when we remember, and sometimes it reminds us of past failures. I think all of us have those things in our past that when we, you know, when they pop up for some reason. Well, there are some that I still physically wince when I remember them. They're just so awful. And so you would think that just forgetting to think about those at all or forcing ourselves to never remember would kind of solve that, but it really, really doesn't. A philosopher once said, those who don't remember the past are doomed to repeat it, and I'm sure we could spend a lot of time discussing that and whether it's true or not. But one of the things that we don't remember is we're going to forget the good as well as the bad. If we refuse to look back, we're not going to see how far we've come. We're not going to see those things that we have figured out. And we're also not going to just look back at those delightful moments of our past. So remembering is a good thing. And the fact that we don't like to remember some parts of it doesn't mean that we shouldn't think of it at all. But if there is something to address in this, it's that some people, when they think back, their personality or whatever it might be, when they look back at what hasn't worked out, and they look back at what failures there were, and they look back at the things that aren't pleasant, and they feel kind of hopeless. And that's where Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica is so helpful. We encounter this passage of Scripture in lots of places. Obviously, we encounter it at least once every 3 years when we read our way through the lectionary. But this is a passage of Scripture that we frequently go to at funerals. And if there is something that we go to on a regular basis that has a similarity to the Remembrance Day celebrations and observances that were done yesterday, it's a funeral. Because one of the things that we do at funerals is we remember. That's why we have them. That's why it is so sad when people force their family and friends to not have a funeral after they're gone. Because remembering things is good for us, even if it's sometimes painful. Reviewing what has happened in the past gives us a context for what's happening in the moment. Gives us a basis to move forward into the future. But if every time we look in the past, all we see are failures, and if we do have that feeling of hopelessness, then that's something we need to deal with. And Paul does, where he says, "Sisters and brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who die, or to grieve like the rest of people who have no hope." The two places that we get together to observe, to remember, to sometimes even celebrate a terrible thing, both hinge on hope. It's possible to have a good funeral. I've been part of them. I've even led them. But part of a funeral is that somebody died. And that's the terrible thing. And when we get together to observe Remembrance Day, we look to see the freedoms that we enjoy, and we look to the world to see places where sacrifice has made a difference. We look at places that we thought were hopeless back then, or at least our parents did, if we're not old enough to remember them, and we see hope. But a bunch of people died for that to happen. The juxtaposition of a terrible thing and hope is something that Christians are uniquely equipped to do. Because the crucifixion was a terrible thing that brought hope. And as I was looking at this text, and as I was thinking of this weekend, and as I was thinking of just coming towards the end of another church year, and we're looking towards Advent coming up, and all of these things, and I was, well, I was remembering, and I was thinking about the process of memory, and I was thinking of those sacrifices made. And I thought, if it wasn't for hope, they would be pointless. If it wasn't for the fact that good things can come out of terrible things, then it would be pointless. Life would be meaningless itself if there was no possibility of sacrifice having meaning, and yet it does. For us in the Christian tradition, and for anyone who looks carefully at the life of Jesus, we see hope in his willingness to go to the cross. We don't understand everything about why it had to be that way, but we know that Jesus went willingly, with his eyes wide open, knowing what was going to come for our benefit. I was never called to serve in the military for lots of reasons. I don't think I would have made the physical back then. When I think of the people who I know who did serve, who went overseas and saw things that were, to me, virtually unimaginable, who went through things that nobody should have to go through, some of whom didn't come back. One of the most important people in my life I've never met. It's my Uncle Alan, who died in 1944. That's where my middle name comes from. And because of him and because of my dad talking about him, not in some kind of making an idol out of a memory, but just talking about what kind of a person he was and all of those things, his sacrifice has stayed with me for as long as I can remember. Not in a way that depresses me or makes me hopeless, but reminds me that things sometimes need to happen that nobody wants. And yet good can come out of that. And as I was thinking of that and being rather depressed at the news over the last several weeks and months of we've seen things that we thought were dealt with in the 40s coming back and being applauded by people that we never would have expected. I look at that and I think, well, I guess there's no hope. And then I look across the ocean to Germany, a country that many people in the 1930s and the early 40s had written off as being an impossible place where good could never come from again. And many people, some of whom I know and knew until they're no longer with us, went over there to do something about it, and something was done. And when I think of the people I know who served, particularly in the Second World War, they served with a sense of hope that is almost impossible to believe. They hoped with this deep inner sense that what they were doing mattered and would make a difference. Oh, I'm sure many people served because of the martial glory and the chance to wear a uniform, which, you know, are pretty snappy. But the ones I know did what they needed to do because it needed to be done and because they expected that it would accomplish what it needed to accomplish. And it did. At a tremendous cost, but a horrifying cost. But it put an end to something that was showing the potential to destroy civilization as we knew it then. Were they glad to go? No. When I think of David and Jim and Fred and some of the others who went, and the stories they tell, they talked frequently, if I could get them to talk at all. They talked about camaraderie, and they talked about enjoyment, and they talked about practical jokes, and they talked about miraculous Christmas dinners and all kinds of things. They never talked about how they thought this was a hopeless, pointless endeavor. They had hope. And that hope was realized. Not permanently. There are still problems in the world, and there are some of those same problems that they went to solve are showing up again, which makes us all concerned, somewhat sad. But they went and they made a fallen world that's still fallen better and safer for us and for millions of other people. And that's one of the things that Paul is talking about. What Paul is talking about here isn't just the sense, as the rest of the passage says, that the people that we know and love in the faith who die, we will see them at some point. And he's not just talking about how there will be a time when all of this will make sense, and whether it's a big obvious thing or not really doesn't matter. It seems to be in this case that it'll be a big thing that nobody can avoid or anything else. But what I go back to in this passage over and over again, whether it's at funerals, Remembrance Day, Remembrance Sunday, or whenever I encounter 1 Thessalonians 5:13 and on, is that we have hope. We always have hope. It doesn't mean that hope is easy. Hope is frequently not easy. Hope at the graveside is not easy, but it's still there. Yesterday, if you went to any of the Remembrance Day observations, or you didn't, or you did them yourself in your own space and in your own time, hope is hard then, but it's still possible. Hope is always possible. And we know that in a way that many people don't. Because the wellspring of our hope isn't just a good idea. The wellspring of the hope that we have isn't just a firm belief in the power of the human spirit. Although the human spirit is pretty impressive. Our hope comes primarily from the reality that Jesus Christ, Son of God, came to earth, lived just like us, spent time here, died on our behalf, and rose again. The hope we have, the inextinguishable hope that those of us in this relationship with God through Jesus have, is that death is never the last word. It's a terrible word. It's destructive and disruptive, and it's a terrible thing for those left behind, even if it's a release for those who go through it. There's always hope. And so when we come to this day, and when we come to this season, when we wear poppies or we don't, whether we go to Remembrance Day observations or we don't for whatever reason, at the back of our mind, there's always a sense that something's going on to remember at this time of the year. And we remember it and we celebrate it, not just for the glory, if there was any. The people who lived through it didn't talk about glory very often. We don't celebrate it just because some people survived that we love. We celebrate it because we have hope. Because we have seen people who are willing to do what needs to be done, even paying the ultimate cost, on behalf of others. On behalf of ideas that make the world a better place. Who did it because it was the right thing to do and needed to be done. And all of those, as so many good and great things, find their ultimate expression in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Remembrance Sunday is an opportunity for us to think carefully, to remember with perhaps grief, but also with at least some sense of joy for the people we knew. But it's a time for us to be hopeful. Because we know what sacrifice can provide. Amen.